Nude Hippo, the podcast, is up next, but first, take a listen to this other fine Opie show.
Hey, we're back with season two of And Friends. I'm Sam.
I'm Tommy.
And I'm Kimmy.
We're going to be handing out $10,000 live on the show.
So listen there on
And Friends, an Opie show on the Radio Misfits Podcast Network. Great talk. Radio isn't dead. It only moved to a better place.
Offers solicited on this promo are not viable. Fewer enter, fewer will not win.
RadioMisfits.com.
Hey, welcome to another edition of Nude Hippo, the podcast. I'm Tony Lozano, and this is an exciting episode, as every episode is, and this week I get to interview Amy Landecker, the daughter of John Records Landecker, the star of Transparent, the show on Amazon Prime. And this week, as I always do, I have someone from the podcast And Friends co-hosting with me, running my board, running my equipment. This week I have
Kimmy Spoon.
Yay, Kimmy! Woo. So, Kimmy, I got. I went out to L.A.
Ooh, and you didn't take me.
I did not take you this time. Rude. You were unavailable when I was leaving.
You've never taken me, by the way.
Well.
Just saying.
Okay. So, I went out to L.A., and I got to go visit Amy, but I went to Bradley Whitford's house, who is the, if you know, the West Wing. Mm-hmm. He was in the movie Get Out. He was in Transparent. He's in Handmaid's Tale.
Handmaid's Tale, yeah.
Yeah. Amy Landecker lives in Santa Monica.
Okay.
But her husband lives in Pasadena. And that's because her daughter is still going to school.
Oh.
I went there the night before the Creative Emmy Awards. These are the Emmys that they give out that you don't see on the regular broadcast, but they mention them. And Bradley was up for an Emmy.
Oh, wow.
Spoiler alert, he won.
I mean, don't most people know that he won now?
Right, right. Anyway, so Amy was in the process of getting ready, getting all her makeup done, which takes days because we're talking about nails. We're talking about getting the outfit.
Just say makeup, that does not take days, but like the whole shebang, yes.
I don't understand the female process.
Obviously.
When I go somewhere, I put on some pants and I'm like, well, I'm done. I'm ready to go. So went there, got to sit with Amy. Had a really good interview, and and that's what we're in play now.
Fantastic.
So here's Amy Landecker.
So here's Amy. You might want to redo that. Here's Amy Landecker because you cut yourself off.
So here's my interview with Amy Landecker.
The following is a Tony Lozano podcast, an Opie show on the Radio Misfits Podcast Network. This is Nude Hippo, the podcast.
So this is very casual.
Yeah.
There is no formal, okay. You know, and we just start talking.
Yeah.
I like casual. Yeah.
This is how I just did Margaret Cho's podcast, and we held mics just like this and sat in her house.
Well, that's the best way to do it.
Am I in therapy or are we doing a podcast?
A little bit of both. Isn't this kind of like therapy?
Yeah, I guess it kind of is. You know, Oprah never went to therapy. Yeah. She said that the way she got better was through her show.
Sure, absolutely.
She had all these like experts on and... I'm an expert.
But also just talking to people.
Yeah,
because you work through your thoughts out and then you hear yourself.
I think
it all makes
totally
sense.
Totally valid. Yeah.
So we're sitting in your yard.
Yeah. Yes. We are sitting in my husband's, yes, but now my yard.
Yes, yes.
People always ask if this was, he was married before and was this their house? No, this is his single house. So I do feel like I get to have it now be my house.
And have you added your touch to it?
No. In fact, that's why I was thinking like there is no touch that's happened yet. I feel like Gwyneth Paltrow and Brad Falchuk because I still have a house in Santa Monica because my kid is still finishing high school and the commute from Pasadena is an hour and a half.
Right.
And I don't really want to do that at 5:30 in the morning. So I still kind of, she's here now and you know, we spend the weekends here. And then when she goes to her dad's, I come here. So I spend about 5 nights a week here, but I do still have a little place. And I think until I leave that house, I won't put my touches in here. I basically told him he gets to keep it the way that it is. I love this house.
Yeah.
In fact, one of the most romantic things, and it sounds silly, but it really, really was romantic to me, I was doing a renovation and it was really expensive and I was, you know, I can't decide about the tile and the contractor did this, that and the other. And he goes, oh, Amy, don't worry about that. You're going to die in my house. And we weren't engaged yet or anything. And I was like, oh, that's a real commitment. And this is the house we plan to die in. So welcome, Tony.
Well, in any time when two people get together and they move into someone's house, and especially when the female move into a male house, there has to be something that you go, oh, that has to go. How do I get rid of that? Oh, Is there anything here?
Oh, sure. Yeah, I got a few things in there. There's like, he likes these monkeys on his lamps. Like, yeah. Beautiful. He has these beautiful lights over his dining table, and there's three stuffed monkeys hanging around each one. And I haven't told him because he might stop loving me, but I wouldn't mind taking the monkeys down.
Yeah.
And then he likes to put two rugs in like a hallway space to fill it. And I'm like, no, you just need one. It's okay to have some wood showing. So there's like little things. But yeah. Overall, we have a very similar aesthetic.
Yeah.
And we like comfort. We definitely, I'd say we value animal comfort over our own.
Yeah, because when I walked in, you told me, welcome to the petting zoo.
It is. It's like, it's just a giant dog bed, the entire place. Oh, speaking of, Otis, our boxer, is joining us briefly. But we have two cats and two dogs, and we just, they sort of run the place.
Yeah, my mom has one dog and seven dog beds.
Well, then you know. That's exactly right. God bless her. I love your mom.
That's right.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
Now, I want to bring up early on a man that I used to work for. Do you recognize this man?
Never seen him before. Oh, wow. Look at that. You got to show Bradley this.
Yeah. So that I gave you a silver dollar from, it'll say the year.
Wow. This is crazy. This is a WLS.
Yeah, WLS top, 40.
Wow.
What songs were number one that week? 1980. It was 1980.
I was 11.
John Records Landecker of WLS.
The Wall was number one. I hated The Wall. I was way too young to get that. It was way too hard for me. I was like such a pop girl, you know?
Yeah.
Wow, look at him. He was so young. Who asked me? Yes, someone asked me if my dad was handsome. And I was like, oh, yeah, my dad was a real player in the day.
Oh, I tell people all the time. I went, he wrote his own tell-all book. Most people have to write that for someone else.
Yeah.
I went, John actually told everything in his book.
Yeah, he sure did. There's pretty much nothing I can't say. He covered it all.
Records is my middle name is the name of his book, yeah.
That's right. Records truly is
my middle name.
Which is true.
So,
my dad. That's how we know each other,
What was it like growing up? Being
John Records Landecker's daughter.
Yeah.
I loved it. You know, it's funny because I think it's, being with Bradley Whitford, is my husband, and his ex-wife, Jane Kaczmarek. They were both actors, and their kids, they have two kids who kind of are like, please put on a hat and don't tell everyone what my last name is. And then there's one who loves it.
Yeah.
So I think kids have different feelings about their parents' notoriety. My sister doesn't want to have anything to do with the fame of John. And I loved every second of it. Yeah. I was one of those little kids who just, I loved being special and that my dad was special. And, I remember going to Great America and he did this remote. It was like when those... I think it was the beginning of the technology. I mean, look at us now. Yeah, we're in my backyard.
With this is a tiny little recorder.
I mean, it's incredible. Yeah. But this was like a huge deal to be able to go somewhere and have the signal travel back to the station, which would then beam it out. And we were at Great America. And I would get, I was probably like 8-10 years old. And we would get like, we would get to the front of all the lines because someone would escort us everywhere. I mean, for a child, that there doesn't get more powerful than that. Like, watch me, people. I'm going to the front of, the up, C, down,
Z. It was a tidal wave.
Yeah, the tidal wave, exactly.
Yeah.
And then I'd walk past security. There would be, this was at a time, there were some days, there were probably, 10,000 people. I don't know. Maybe that's an exaggeration, but I don't think it is.
Thousands
and thousands of people coming to watch these things. And I would strut through, with my babysitter and, or whatever girlfriend dad had at the time. And and I'd walk past security. And I'd be like, Dad, I need $20. And he'd hand me $20. And I just felt like a famous person.
Right.
I felt famous because he was so well known and I was now his, And so anyway, I soaked it up. I loved going to the concerts.
I'm sure did he not put you on the air?
He put me on the air.
Right.
Oh, my God.
So we
did air
checks.
I read ad copy. In fact, he just sent me some copy that my sister and I read on the air years ago that was, I was such a little kid. It sounded like I was maybe 7 or something. Yeah. And you know, I do voiceover now, and he was like, this is your first ad. I can't remember what it was, but some Chicago thing. But yeah, I read the weather. Yeah. You know, I'd hang out at the station. My parents were divorced, so when we went to see my dad, he worked at nights.
Yeah,
we went to the station. That was our every Wednesday. Mm-hmm. We were at WLS.
Yeah,
I loved it. There was a Burger King downstairs.
That's right.
It was at the Stone Container Building, mm-hmm. and my mom is a vegetarian, so we would go to my dad's and eat a lot of meat. A lot of meat and French fries.
Yes.
Because not only was she vegetarian, she was a yoga teacher and she was really healthy.
Okay,
and
so
my dad was like,
awful.
You want some ribs? You want some, you know, I mean, it was awful. We were just, it was, yeah, it was rock and roll. And,
well, talking about the fame thing. So I have two nieces. They're now 20 and 24. But when they were young, I used to put them in things from the TV show to radios that I produce to even putting them in an ad on an IMAX screen. And I remember hearing them with their friends saying, yeah, I'm famous. I'm on this. And I pulled them aside and went, I will make this all go away if you make yourself better
keep
than
your
the
humility.
Yes, yes.
Yes. I think I was always, I don't think I was I mean, I probably was. I'm like, yes, shut up. What are you even saying? I'm sure I was obnoxious about it. But yeah, you need to, although my dad was always really, we were always told when we met famous people never to take their picture, never to get an autograph, not to ever act like we were less than them.
Right.
Which I kind of regretted when I got older because I had no evidence of all this great stuff that I got to
do. So that's how I feel at times. And I'll give you a hint. I'm a huge West Wing fan. Did you see how I reacted when I saw your husband? It's like,
yes,
hi,
well,
nice to see
you. Yes,
right.
Of
and
course.
That's how I've always been. So the only person that I ever met as a celebrity that I freaked out on was Ed McMahon. Mm-hmm. But I still waited until after he left and I started squealing and all that.
Oh, that's so funny.
You know?
You're at Bradley Whitford's house in LA. That's a good tourist.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
I hooked you up.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. Yeah. It's a good show. The West Wing was a very good show, and he has a new show coming out.
He does. Perfect Harmony, premiering September 26th on NBC, and I literally have spent all of my downtime this summer with my kid going to set, watching this joyous, musically infused, unbelievably charming comedy about a church choir that Bradley becomes the director of, and he's this kind of atheist, surly, drunken Princeton, you know, professor who lands in Red State Church Choir. And it's such a fun, sweet, funny show. Yeah. I'm really hoping people find it and enjoy it. I know he's having like the time of his life, and it's such a perfect contrast to his other show, Handmaid's Tale, which is so much darker.
Right,
it gets to be like the lightest and the darkest. Which is like every actor's dream.
So you met him on Transparent.
I did, yeah.
Now, that Transparent came out right before Bruce Jenner became Caitlyn.
That's right.
And so I remember people not understanding what transgender even meant.
That's right.
Not only did Bruce Jenner coming out at that time help explain it, but you guys did such a fantastic job with the series. And
Thank you.
Right away, it was at least received very well.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember your dad telling me about this, telling me about you getting this gig. And he's like, Amy's not entirely sure what this is.
Right.
Not the format of the show, but this Amazon thing.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. I was going to say that what I really didn't know was what is Amazon?
You're like,
no one knew. You know,
the studio looks the same. The pay looks the same.
Right.
Everything was the same except where it was going.
That's
and you're
right.
like, I don't know.
Yeah. That was so interesting. You're so right. It was such a, you know, we were under a television contract and we were kind of curious, what's the difference between a web series and like a TV show on that's streamed, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And basically, the only difference is the pay. It's the level that they have to play at in order to call it a television.
And that's a union
show.
Deal.
Exactly.
Right.
So the union had set up these contracts, but that didn't mean, I mean, Jill would even laugh, you know, say that people were often thinking that we were just doing a web series.
The creator and...
Who's from Chicago.
Yes,
Jill
yes.
Soloway and Faith Soloway, Jill's sister, who is also a writer and doing all the music for the musical, which I'm sure we'll talk about at some point. But this was, it was a really interesting leap for everyone, I think. I think what you got in exchange for being at the forefront of what is now how most television is watched was total creative freedom. Like there was absolutely, and risk.
Yeah.
You know, Jill had been turned down by every network in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
No one wanted to tell this story. And Amazon was willing to take a risk on a subject matter, that had never been explored this way. It had never been explored through a family. This was a true story based on, you know, Jill and Faith's own parent who transitioned late in life. And so, you know, it was we all kind of took a leap off of a cliff. And it was funny because I had worked at the AIDS Foundation of Chicago as a fundraiser when I was still trying to make a living as an actor. And that was my, like, roots in Chicago, my day job. And I continued to, like, work with that charity whenever they asked or I could. And so I felt somewhat educated in some of the stuff that we were talking about more than maybe. And, you know, it's funny because we just gave Judith Light, you were there, her star on the Walk of Fame, and she was already working with the Point Foundation before Transparent, which gives grants to trans youth. And so I had an awareness, but I didn't realize even in the LGBTQIA community there was like a separation between sort of, you know, gays and trans people, like that needed to be fused. And trans people had, it was also, there was an incredible Chicago actress, Alexandra Billings, who I came up with as a theater actor in Chicago, who was trans. And she was like one of the only people that I knew was trans. I'm sure I met a lot of people who were and didn't know it, but she was openly trans. She was openly HIV positive. She was this brilliant actress, and she got cast on the show. And so it was very full circle, but it was still, when we were shooting, we thought, I have no idea if anyone's going to see this. We have no idea if anyone's going to find this. Melora
Because
Hardin.
We're at the era where Netflix was just starting to do that. But they did Arrested Development, so it was a reboot of an old show. But they were still known for sending out discs in the mail.
That's right.
That's where we were.
Yeah, they were. I think they were just starting to make original programming. Yeah. And Amazon was going to compete hardcore with them. I feel like, what was the net? There was like maybe one or two Netflix
They might have
shows.
Had House of Cards.
Yeah, exactly.
Or
House of Cards.
Also Orange is the New Black.
Yeah,
Did they have
that's
that
right,
yet?
That's right.
Because they also had a trans
of
character
course,
on that.
That's right, Laverne Cox. And our whole thing was like, well, the only difference between this and Orange and that storyline was just that this was just a normal family situation. It wasn't anyone who was incarcerated or it was just this kind of like, everyone could relate to this kind of situation, but Laverne had definitely, you know, opened doors to this, to awareness in a huge way. And she continues to do that. So we were like, it was actually the beginning of season two when Caitlin, came out. And, but we knew, and we knew that the Kardashians actually watched the show together, that she had them watch it to sort of explain what was going on. So it was thrilling. And the fact that we won a Golden Globe within 5 months of premiering, the reviews were insane. I mean, of course it's like a dream. I don't even, didn't take much of it in. You can't, it was so fast and extraordinary.
Well, besides the subject matter, the story was good. The writing was
it's
the acting, I mean, all the
show. Yeah,
everything
it can't just be that story.
Exactly.
It was that it was a show that was communicating in a way that people were just really hungry for and was groundbreaking and not just, I mean, it's also one of the most Jewish shows ever written. I always say it's just as Jewish as it is queer. We're like, I mean, wait till you see the musical finale. It is unbelievable. But it's Jill is this very singular creative voice. I mean, it was this like very sexually progressive comedy with a family heartfelt story at the center, like combining these elements. It was extraordinary. But, you know, they prefer they, them pronouns. So I'm going to refer to Jill as they, which sometimes is confusing to people. But that's what I'm doing. And so they were... they were writing on 6 Feet Under, and they were writing on United States of Tara, and they had written a movie called Afternoon Delight that they directed. Yeah. So the types of characters, these like really rich, complicated female characters, had already been coming out of the canon of Jill's work. But this was the culmination of, I think, too, some of the greatest stuff you'll ever see is always really personal.
Yes.
And the fact that this was almost in real time, Jill and Faith's life. I mean, I think their parent came out like the year before we started shooting.
Yeah.
So it was cool. It was very exciting. We were all weeping at the table read, the first table read, singing Operator by Jim Croce. And I thought, something really extraordinary is happening here.
This is a milestone show. This is a show that will always be referred to as a moment, just like as simple as Ellen DeGeneres coming out yes. as gay.
Yeah, yeah.
Or even more basic of Lucy having a baby on TV.
Oh,
remember
that? Yeah.
But these are moments, you're a part of that.
I feel very thrilled.
Yeah.
I felt that my agent last night leaned over to me. We watched the movie, which I think is really kind of extraordinary. And
the season finale
is a movie musical, which is people are having a hard time.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't say movie in the sense that you're not going to go to the theaters. You'll see it on Amazon, just like you would watch an episode.
Yeah.
I guess you could call it an hour and 40-minute episode with music.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it is a departure. It is a narrative departure from what the show had been. And he leaned over to me and he just said, "You are part of one of the most important television shows in history." And this is a chapter of that is unbelievably groundbreaking. Yeah. And I was just like, I'll watch the trailers or I'll watch the movie. And I literally can't believe I'm up there in that group of people. I'm at the party talking to Gabby Hoffman and Catherine Hahn, who are, consider me a close friend. Yeah. And I still fan out looking at them. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Especially if I've just watched their work.
Right.
And I'm just like, oh my God. Like, how do you even talking to me? And yet, not only am I talking to them, I'm in the scene with them.
Right.
And they think I'm good.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, it's mind blowing. So I feel really, really, really fortunate and very, very sad that
it's ending.
It's ending. Yeah.
Well, but like I said, you're in a milestone show. Think about when Ellen DeGeneres came out. Look at how there's gay characters on TV now, and it's not a big deal. It's not even winked at. But back then,
Isn't that crazy?
I know. And so once you put something out there, I've always said this, racism, sexism is based on ignorance. It really is.
Of course, yeah, absolutely.
You know, it's the lack of...
It's not knowing each other.
Right.
There was this woman who was one of our... advisor. She's a professor and a writer. And she said when we were on the red carpet at one of the earliest events, you can't hate someone if you know their story.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, for everything that's going on in the world right now, and even my own hatred, I mean, I'm very leftist pissed off.
Mm-hmm.
Now I've got the vitriol towards, you know, the Trump people. And it's like, we all need to sit down and talk to each other and learn each other's stories. And I think, we just didn't have access to, you know, what, I mean, there's this wonderful actress on Pose, India Moore, and I was just reading an interview with them. They're also non-binary preferred pronouns. This is all very new to everyone, I know. My dad's so cute. He uses like they, them, and I think it's so great when people make an effort to try to learn what this is about. Because any kind of new civil rights movement, there's always a bit of pushback, like, why do I have to call you African American?
Well,
I know what I mean?
My best friend who just moved up here, who I'm staying with currently, daughter wants to be referred to as a he now.
Yes.
And so it's like, I've known you as a baby. I've known you all your life.
Yeah.
I've transitioned to the new name.
Yeah.
But I'm like, every once in a while, I'm going to say she. Yeah. And that's only because I have habit. I need time to recondition myself.
That's right.
And my other podcast, Los Anno and Friends, which you were on, and I have guests. We have a questionnaire that we normally send out to our guests. This is the first season that we have. What pronoun would you like to be referred to?
So that's and so we great.
I mean, so it is something that's now
find
in
it
our
all
culture.
Very heartwarming. And here's why: none of this is hurting anybody, right? So the resistance to it isn't based in anything other than fear. There's nothing. No one's asking anything of us that causes any harm.
Yeah,
it's just about allowing our minds to open up a little bit. And I'm not saying, you know, it's all easy, and I understand arguments about, you know, wanting to hold on to gender, and we're going to have lots of conversations about this. But I think the basic respect when someone says, this is how I would like to be referred to, what difference does it make to me?
Right.
You know, and can I try to make the effort? Yeah. And I mean, I've been a binary thinker for, I'm going to be 50.
Most people,
are. I will tell you, young people, they get they, them, like, no, like it's water you know, off of a duck's
back. We had
back.
An intern that was non-binary, and we referred to, at request of they and them. And I sat down and I talked to, and I don't remember this person's name. I said, the only problem I have with that is if I say, get them, am I talking to you or the group that you're with?
Right.
I went, I like Zay Zem. I like
right, which
I,
did not seem to.
I
stick,
know, and
I
it didn't
say.
Grab on. I went. Yeah. That's the only problem I have is we're already taking a word that has one meaning and applying another similar meaning.
No, it's true. I think the only difficulty with it is when you are trying to make the distinction between referring to one person
right.
or group.
Right. Other than that, we did.
Other than that, I mean, we you know we always say if I said I'm going to pick up my cousin,
yeah.
You'd say what time do they get here?
Right.
Because I haven't delineated a sex.
Yes.
So you're using they them in the singular. So
yeah.
it's not grammatically incorrect.
Yeah.
It just has multiple uses. And we haven't figured out that distinction when you're talking about, which is,
yeah.
although people who are non-binary say, well, just simply say the names. Like,
right.
or, you know, or say, you know, Chris and
right.
friends.
Right.
Why is that so difficult?
Right. Right. right.
So you go,
it's
right,
the,
no,
right.
yes,
it's just
sure.
a transition
but
period.
It's
right.
the hard
yeah.
thing
yeah.
on the brain. And yeah. I try really hard to honor people's pronouns. And I think,
absolutely.
You know, people don't, people, most people understand this, the most people that I know in
yeah.
in the world of, you know, queer folk who are mm-hmm. really at the forefront of this, most people really understand
yeah.
how hard that can be and
yeah.
are patient and kind about it. And I always say to people, like, just the attempt feels really good to people.
Right.
Just the attempt to acknowledge and to honor the desire. So, yeah, but there's a lot more trans kids now, and people are like, well, this is because these shows are, you know, and I'm like, no, the trans kids were always there.
Right.
The trans kids just couldn't say they were there.
Exactly.
So it's not like people, it's not a fad.
Nobody's, yes.
Nobody wants to do this. That's what I keep saying.
Right, right.
Nobody wants
because
to
it,
be, it's
it
really a challenge.
It also it adds conflict. Conflict.
Exactly.
It's like, I don't want to be bringing attention to this.
Right.
I just want to be me.
Exactly. And so to do it, like,
yeah.
it requires courage and,
yeah.
And love and understanding, and a lot of people don't get that in their families. And so, I mean, it was the same thing when people were like, oh, there's so many more gay people. Like, when that started to come out more, I was like, no,
yeah.
they were always here.
Right.
They just
right.
weren't telling you because
right.
they were afraid.
Well, remember, in Iran, there's no gay people.
Exactly, of course. There's zero. Exactly. I mean, it's kind of unbelievable, too, like, when you think we are so privileged in this country, and even still, I mean, you know, not to get too dark, but the rate of murder amongst trans women, particularly trans women of color, is
right.
still over 50%. I mean, it's still a very dangerous place, but it's becoming safer and safer.
Yeah.
And again, I keep throwing out this idea to people who have any issue with it. It's like, it's not hurting anyone. This
right.
isn't about, this isn't anything that
yeah.
causes harm. It's about who you love and who you are.
Yeah, it's the old saying, let's just all get along.
Exactly.
It's all.
Yeah.
So the musical, September 27th on
September
Amazon.
September 27th.
This is from the people who I remember brought the Brady Bunch musical
right.
to Chicago.
And I think Cannibal Cheerleaders on Crack.
Right.
Yes, this
and,
is Jill Soloway
yes.
and Faye Soloway, who have been writing musicals and doing this. It's funny because a lot of people who watch the show are just completely shocked and don't, they're like,
yeah.
what do you mean it's a, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
And for those of us who've been in the show, there's always been music there.
Yeah.
We've always felt it every season.
Mm-hmm.
We know how important music is to
mm-hmm.
Jill and how, I mean, and like I said, at that first table read, Faith was on keyboards and we were singing Operator.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Maura's character sang with Alexandra at the Trans Got Talent.
Mm-hmm.
That Foster the People song, I'm spacing the name, but and then of course Judith blew the
yeah.
whole show open doing Alanis Morissette on
right.
the boat, and then I did a little ditty on the bus last year for Jesus Christ Superstar, and we all sang in the water.
Yeah.
So this has been a part of it. I think this is just the transference of words to music, which
yeah.
Really felt like the only way to communicate anymore after, you know, we lost Jeffrey Tambor to, you know, misconduct on set. And it was, you know, there was an investigation by Amazon
yeah.
and he lost his job. And we lost our, you know, parent, our
yeah.
trans parent.
Yeah.
And we were all kind of in a stupor, not
yeah.
really knowing what to do next. And I think Jill and Faith were like, I don't even know what to write
right
now. And so Jill had this ingenious idea with Faith of like, well, maybe we just do a musical movie. Now we're, I mean, I saw it last night on a huge
yeah.
screen here, and it was like, you know, it was extraordinary. It was like watching, for me, it was especially having my dad, 70s rock and roll disc jockey.
Yeah.
This is like Godspell, Hairspray. I mean, not Hairspray. Sorry. Hair.
Yeah.
Like Magical Mystery. You know, like it has this 70s psychedelic
okay.
trippy sort of vibe to it, where you're just on a journey and it doesn't all like, it's not it's all perfectly lined up and clean, and yet you're crying, you're laughing. I mean, I was, and a lot of people there were, and I was really blown away by it. I do have, obviously, like, I'm so biased because I'm so connected to these characters. And I knew the songs so well because I've been listening to them for all year. So I'm like, oh, this is my favorite. Oh, I know this song. And everyone else is hearing these songs for the first time. Yeah. So, but I think it, I really think it works. I think it genuinely will please fans. I think it has a lot of Easter eggs in it. Yeah. It basically like touches all the things that we kind of have done through the years. And I do think it's a really appropriate extension, and it's a perfect way to like go up and out.
Well, we need to take a break, and we'll be right back.
So, Lou, what's the deal with horsepower? I mean, we don't use horses anymore.
Well, we like horses, and that's how it started, so these are our new ponies.
At least we're living in the golden age of horsepower and doing our best to enjoy it like we do on the Car Guys Report, Informed Automotive. I'm Mark Vernon.
I'm Lou Costable.
Join us for the Car Guys Report, a Tony Lasano podcast, an Opie production, on the Radio Misfits Podcast Network.
You really think you could feed like 700 horses, Mark?
This is Minutia Men with Rick and Dave.
We are happy to have Mark Cuban on the show. Is there a way that we can monetize my daughter's eye rolls? Can you do anything? Can you figure that out?
So my daughter, I'll let her put on Sirius XM, whatever song she likes. We pull into this half circle when I drop her off, and, you know, she's ready to get out of the car. I'll say, I love you, sweetie. Bam, blast it. And, you know, and if it's a song I know the words to, then I'm singing along, too, and her friends are looking at me and looking at the car.
Oh, man, there's nothing more embarrassing than dad singing along.
Oh, man, it's like, Kiki, do you love me?
Tony Lasano Podcast, an Opie production on the Radio Misfits Podcast Network.
RadioMisfits.com.
Let's get back to the interview with Amy Landecker.
I was at the Judith Light Walk, Star Walk of Fame, and I heard someone say, that group seems like they really like each other. Yeah. I wonder if it's true. Yeah. And I wanted to tell them, I think this one is a real family. This
really
will last. Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny. I felt so heartened. America Ferrera was there.
Yep.
And she's really good friends with Judith. And she was at the premiere last night, and I got kind of choked up talking to her after it and said, I'm just so sad that I'm not going to be with these people. Yeah. And she said, but you will. She said, the Ugly Betty cast is so close.
Yeah.
And my husband with West Wing, those guys, if they need anything, they all gather. I've been around Allison Janney and Richard Schiff and Dulé Hill and Martin Sheen and that whole crew.
Yeah.
I see like their aunts and uncles of his, or, you know, brothers and sisters. Like, so I really believe like that this group of people will stay connected. I think we have I think we're like, you know, Jennifer Aniston and Courtney Cox. I feel like we have the basis for a lifelong close friendship. And that does give me some solace.
And I think your fans will be there too. I want to end on one note.
Yeah.
I want to end on how you got your SAG card. I always love this story.
I got my SAG card doing Toyota?
I thought it was Tampax.
No, that was not my SAG card.
Well, okay, what was that?
That is a great story. That was my first voiceover.
Okay.
And I made $30,000 saying ballet. No, my SAG card. Well, you know
what? Explain that.
I have to explain it. So basically there was some on-camera voice and I was echoing her, but they only ended up using one word.
Yeah.
So she's like, I like to take ballet. And I went, ballet.
And because of the screen rules and how often it ran.
Yes, because this was national commercial time. These don't run this like this anymore. This was Class A network, tampons.
Yeah.
Didn't matter how much you said. You could say one thing or you could say a lot and you would get paid the same.
Yeah.
So I made all this money and it just blew my mind.
Because this was a new thing for you. You weren't making this kind of money at that level.
Oh, no. You can definitely ask my dad about that one. I basically lived off of my father until I had the great idea to borrow $2,000, which this is a long time ago. So that was a lot of money to hire Mindy Versen, who was a local producer and she was making amazing demo reels for voiceover talent. And But she was expensive. Yeah. And so it was the last time I borrowed money from him.
Yeah.
Was to make this real. And I said, I have this idea. Mm-hmm. I had a good friend, Chris Holloway, I worked with, who has become a voiceover. My friend, Alyssa Fraden, who was working with me at mm-hmm. Starbucks, had become the voice of Betty Crocker and quit her job. And I was like, this is what, and I was so fortunate because my dad was associated, as I hold a microphone in my hand, with a microphone and sure. with voice. So people knew my last name in Chicago.
Right.
So I think that helped a yeah. lot. And I also had a great passion for it. Yeah. I mean, I was madly in love with it yeah. for many years. And I didn't even go full time to on camera until I was 40. And I still miss, I just got to do the Volkswagen campaign over the summer. And I just was a pig in shit, you know. And I was doing lactate cows with Jillian Bell, who's one of the greatest improvisers. I still would, anytime I go into a voiceover studio, mm-hmm. it's probably my happiest place. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, that's, and I think growing up in studios mm-hmm. is part of that. To me, it's mm-hmm. it's all comfort. It's
right.
it's all ease.
Right.
You know, it doesn't matter what I'm wearing. It doesn't. God, the effort just to go to this party last night. I'm in hair and makeup for 2 hours, you know, and I'm like, we call it the car wash, my husband and I, because we're going to the Emmys tomorrow night, because the Creative Arts Emmys are a week before the big Emmys. And yeah. for guest stars, that's the night they announce it. And yeah. he's nominated for Handmaids. And I have a fake tan going. I have fake eyelashes. I have fake nails. And I have gotten my hair colored, and I'm still yeah. going to go into 2 hours of hair and makeup tomorrow.
Yeah.
So every time someone from high school is like, why do you look so amazing? I'm like, well, you would too.
Right.
After all of that, I better right. look amazing.
That's right.
So, yeah, I was just late for our little meeting because I was finishing up. I had to get the new nail color for tomorrow. I mean, this is insane. So on voiceover, it don't matter.
No.
You don't know what I look like right now out there.
That's right.
I could be all red carpeted, or I'm sitting here like I am with no bra on, no makeup. On.
You did looping as Julia Roberts.
That's true. Yes,
which
I
is
did.
When you redo audio voice.
I did her ADR, which yeah. is I never remember what it stands for, but something audio something
yeah.
to recording. But so basically, what happens, and it's very very rare. You'd have to be super super famous, like yeah. Julia Roberts or George Clooney, or
right.
somebody who goes from movie to movie and yeah. is all over the world busy.
Right.
And when you do a movie, say like we're talking now, say an ambulance drove by in
right.
the middle of this conversation, but we're on camera.
Yeah.
Well, they're going to have to re-record that line because that right. ambulance just ruined this moment.
Yeah.
But they don't want to redo the whole scene.
Right.
So maybe it's like one line in the middle of a scene. Mm-hmm. Well, Julia Roberts is too damn busy mm-hmm. to go re-record her one line. So they find voice doubles. There mm-hmm. are literally voice doubles for all major stars.
Mm-hmm.
And we are a unsung troupe. Most people never know what we do. We're not
right.
credited.
Right.
And I mean, I didn't do her that much. I did her several times. It was yeah. really fun. The last time I couldn't do it because of Transparent. I had yeah. started to work too much because yeah. you really have to be available all the time. But yeah. I was sort of becoming known as the woman who sounded just like Julia Roberts.
Yeah.
And the whole reason that I knew I did
yeah.
is she was the voice of America Online when she was having her twins.
Yeah.
And my dad called me and said, you sound so great on America Online.
He thought it was you.
And I'm like, I have no idea. I'm going to find out who that is.
Yeah.
And it was Julia Roberts. And I was like, well, now I know. If my own father
That's right.
thinks I'm Julia Roberts, then I sound like Julia Roberts.
Well, let's plug everything again.
Thank you.
Wilford's Wilford. Bradley Whitford.
I don't know where Wilford.
You know, from
the
old.
That's
yeah.
my husband.
Yeah.
No, Bradley Whitford is on Perfect Harmony.
Yeah.
September 26th on NBC, and I will be on Amazon Prime September 27th in the Musical.ly finale of Transparent, and then we're both going back to Handmaid's Tale, I believe, next season. So it's a fun year for the Whitford Landecker clan.
I'm very happy for you.
Thank you. I've been
following you, of course, because I've been with John for a long time, and in fact, I got to talk to your dad about you, and I'm going to play that now after this.
Oh, that's cute. He says to say hi, by the way. I think he's jealous.
Thank you, Amy.
We'll be right back.
If you missed Los Anno and Friends, here's what you missed.
John, guess who's joining us on the phone? Take a guess.
Haven't the slightest idea, Tony.
It's your daughter, Amy Landecker.
What do you know?
The star of Amazon's Transparent.
Hi, honey.
Hi, Dad.
I know you get this question a lot. Amy, is Records truly your paternal grandmother's family name?
It's so wild. I mean, I think the weirdest part is not only that his middle name was Records, but that he also used to pretend to be a disc jockey in his closet when he was a little kid. The whole thing just feels predestined, Josh, in like a major way.
John, you told me you had tapes. You used to record yourself.
You know, if you ask a lot of people that are on the air now when they were little, that happens a lot.
Yeah, I know. I did.
I pretended to have a radio station in my room and took out library books. This is your announcer.
Right.
And tape recorded songs off local radio station and pretended this and that. I also had a thing where I thought I might be a sportscaster, and because I lived in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and listened to the University of Michigan football all the time on the radio, and there was a guy named Bob Ufer, and this guy is insane, but I thought it was fantastic. So I got a sound effects records of a crowd's cheering and stuff, and I put it on a turntable, and I'd, here's it from the final minute of the game, and here comes a...
Radio Misfits. Get more. Lozano and Friends. Lozano. Now on Lozano.com. Good luck trying to spell Lozano or whatever it's called.
And now Tony sits down with John Records Landecker.
Movie's coming out. They're going to go to Tribeca. Yeah. She's got another thing going. It's the Women's Film Festival. Yeah. Blah, 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 blah.
John Records Landecker. Or now known as Amy's dad.
Yeah.
Is that how you're being introduced a lot of times now, especially when you're out in L.A.?
Absolutely. Even the people who know my name.
Right.
Where's Amy's dad? Is Amy's dad coming?
And Amy, of course, was always known as John Records Landecker's daughter. So it's totally flipped for her, too.
That's right. Well, Amy, when she was like in fourth grade, third grade, made a tie for Father's Day on cardboard that said Amy's dad. And I took that out to Los Angeles and wore it to the first Emmys.
Yeah.
And there's a picture of me standing next to Jeff Bezos.
I know.
And I'm holding the Amy's dad tie. And you would not believe what an icebreaker that was.
Yeah.
Very famous people from very famous television programs came up to me on their own and went, oh, that is so cute.
Yes.
They didn't know who I, as a person, don't even exist, but as Amy's dad,
How do you feel now being in the spotlight but behind her?
Well, I've never really looked at it that way, but it's fine. It's fine with me.
You've been on the set with her out there, and
sure.
All that. So,
sure.
I mean, at least on the set.
Yeah, but there's a lot of people on a set.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And I'm interested in a lot of these other things. There's other actors, there's writers, directors.
Of course.
I like it there. I like the fact that the area is all wrapped up in this one industry.
Yeah.
There's so much of it there.
Yeah.
That, like, when I was taking acting classes and I'm running around Los Angeles every day, I didn't feel, hey, I'm a part of it now. I really haven't looked on it. In the context that you've mentioned it.
My thought would be that, you know, you were at the top of one field and trying to get into a different field.
Her trajectory is much harder than mine. She had to do it on her own,
absolutely.
So to speak.
Yeah.
I mean, she was here.
Yeah.
She did well here.
Yeah.
She moved to New York by herself.
Yeah.
She did well there.
Yeah.
She went to Los Angeles.
Yeah.
She did well there. She's doing well there.
Yeah. And you've always, even when she wasn't like, now she's somewhat known.
Mm-hmm.
You've been proud of her no matter what she did.
Well, of course.
I know. But what I'm leading up to is I remember moments with her getting frustrated, going, it's not happening. It's not working. She's on all the big shows. She's guest starring. She had a role on the Paul Reiser show for a little while as the
wife. It lasted
wife.
2 weeks.
But still, I mean, who can say that, right? She was the voice of McDonald's. She did guest spots on every single show I watch.
House, all this stuff.
And she was like, it's just not working out. And I'm like,
every actor is insecure.
Right.
Every actor.
Yeah.
From the smallest to the biggest.
Yeah.
They are always paranoid about where the next job is coming from.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah, sure. You have to be. It's not a steady business.
Well, I don't know if you have to be paranoid.
Well, but you have to be always worried about it because it's not...
Well, it's the lifeblood of what you do, yeah. And you're not a full-time employee anywhere, yeah. And just because you get one thing doesn't mean you're getting another.
Right, and it's especially it's a gig where someone can write you off.
Or reject you for the part completely simply because your nose is wrong, right. Or they don't like your earlobe, yeah. Or... Something that has absolutely nothing to do with your talent.
Yeah, yeah.
The acting school that Amy went to out there and the one that I attended briefly, the motto, and it's the motto of the school, dare to suck.
Right.
It's on everything. It's on the wall.
Yeah.
They have it. They even have like candy suckers in a bowl that have that emblazed on the on the wrapper.
Yeah.
Everything is dare to suck because if you don't dare, then you'll never anything, and everybody's gonna suck.
Yeah, you have to push yourself.
Everybody's gonna.
And I think failure is also a success. I think you learn from failures. If you didn't fail, you didn't try. So you have so you have to put yourself out there to achieve. So
right, and it's ironic because actors are paranoid and have egos that are not made for rejection.
Right.
And yet that's going to be a huge part of their career.
Yeah, right, right.
So good luck with that.
Okay, final thought on Amy's career. When you watch her work, did you see this as she was growing up as a kid? Did you go, oh, she's going to be going into a field of showbiz? Did you see that? Was there signs of this? Was she acting as a child?
Oh, yeah. They went to Francis Parker School. Both Tracy and Amy went to Francis Parker School in Chicago. And Parker has a history of graduates who have entered the show business acting slash world. David Mamet. Now I'm drawing blanks on everybody's names. But at any rate, they're Anne Haitch. Amongst others. Mm-hmm. So I attended all of their school productions.
Yeah.
And then Amy segued to University of Wisconsin and majored in theater, and I went there.
Yeah.
And it was always there.
And you always were aware of it then?
Yeah. In fact, I kept all of their, as much as I could, school work reports.
Yeah.
I have somewhere something that Amy wrote for a class when she was like in the seventh grade, and it says, "I want to be an actor" on it.
Yeah.
As to what she wants to do.
Yeah.
So I'm a disc jockey.
Right.
Which is not a normal profession for your father. And their mother is a yoga instructor. Not a normal profession for your mother. So the idea of being in a profession that's not 9 to 5 or stable was always around.
Yeah.
Always around.
Thank you, John.
You're welcome.
All right, so that was John Rickards Landecker. And before that, Amy Landecker. How was that interview?
They're both beautiful. And it's, you know what's fantastic is they have the same last name.
It makes it easier this way. It's almost like they're related. Now, Transparent, the milestone show, the thing that the people will remember in history from decades from now. Transparent, the music finale, will be on Amazon Prime on September 27th. It's an hour and 40 minutes of music.
Ooh.
And then Bradley Whitford's show is called Perfect Harmony. It'll be coming out the day before on the 26th, September 26th, on NBC. Perfect Harmony. He plays a atheist preacher that gets this chorus together for a church. It's in a very red state. It's a very funny and cool new musical show. Lots of music. Both of these things are filled with music. So if you like music and fun TV, Transparent, Perfect Harmony. All right, as always, I have to give a special thanks from Anne Friends, the podcast. Kimmy Spoons, thanks for being here. You've done a wonderful job again.
Oh, thank you.
Yay, Kimmy did it again for the 7th time.
Wait, Samuel?
Yeah, it's me. I've been here the whole time. In fact, I've been here every show.
Samuel is also from And Friends. Yeah. Well, you know, we try to rotate. So you did one on one of the episodes. I think you did Rich Coe's. You were with me on the bus.
He got Rich Coe's on a bus?
Oh, Tommy. You're here, too.
Yeah, Tommy, we're all here.
Tommy also from And Friends. How's the podcast going?
It's great. We just started season two.
That's right. How many episodes were in season one?
Four.
Well, congratulations on season two. Good luck with all
Thank
that.
Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah, I can't believe we got renewed.
Hey, we got 96 more episodes till syndication, so.
Almost there.
Which is what, 30 more seasons?
Yep.
So from everyone from And Friends, check them out at RadioMisfits.com or OpieShows.com.
Am I saying special thanks to you? And
yeah, this is where you thank me.
Oh, yeah.
It's because it's really weird if I end the show thanking myself.
Oh, that would be great.
Okay, I got this. I got this. Okay, I got this. Okay, I got okay. this. And a special thanks to you, Tony, from all of us with And Friends.
You.
With opishows.com, which is just hippo spelled backwards. O-P-P-I-H shows.com. And, of course, Ed Silla from Radio Misfits, because Great Talk Radio isn't dead. It just moved to a better place. RadioMisfits.com.
Until next time, from all of us at And Friends, Nude Hippo, the podcast, and all the above. Stick around.
Listen, subscribe, rate Nude Hippo, the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn, and iHeartRadio. Just search for Radio Misfits. Be sure to tell a friend about Nude Hippo, the podcast, which is available online at RadioMisfits.com.
The proceeding was a presentation of Opie Productions. Find our other great shows wherever you find podcasts, including OpieShows.com. Thank you.
This has been a presentation of Opie Productions.
Tony, can you shut up?
A lot of anchors do that. Yeah, it's a thing.
Are you ready?
Oh, boy.
Okay, here we go. 3, 2, 1. Hi, I'm Howard Sudbury.
And I'm Steve Baskerville.
Let's do it again.
What? That was good.
No, we messed it all up.
What's wrong? What? How?
It was going good, and then it went south.
No, it didn't. Well, if that went south, see what happens now.
Okay, you ready?
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Howard Sudbury.
And I'm Steve Baskerville.
Back to you on the Radio Misfits Podcast Network. Great talk radio isn't dead. It just moved to a better place. RadioMisfits.com.
I need an agent.
Be sure to tune in to Free Kicks with Adam and Rick. Our podcast highlights the best soccer league in the world.
The English Premier League.
We recap the previous week's games.
And preview the upcoming games.
I do it from an American point of view.
And I do it as an authentic Brit. Accent and all.
That's authentic. Right, Governor?
Not exactly how I say it.
We also talk about the local soccer scene because Adam is the Illinois Youth Director of Coaching. If you love soccer.
Football.
Football. Tune in to Free Kicks. New episodes drop weekly.
On the Radio Misfits Podcast Network.